Welcome to WRTI's Classical Stream, made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Learn more at WRTI.org.
We welcome today a very, very fine artist, Yolanda Condonassis, harpist. Welcome, Yolanda, to Crossover once again.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to talk with you again.
Well, since we spoke last, I think you've come out with several new albums, and I guess that's pretty much what I'd like to discuss with you. The one that you did was rather thrilling for me was The Air, Music for Harp, Flute, and Strings, because of the whole concept of it. And of course, you've gotten much of the harp, standard harp repertoire on the sacred and profane dances, and then, the trio, you know, for flute,
right,
harp, and viola. And, tell us a little bit about this, because the reason that you did this is quite inspiring.
Well, you know, it was one of those projects. First of all, the album is titled Air, and that is named after one of the tracks, which is a piece written for a solo flute, as it happens, by Toru Takemitsu. And I'm very interested in issues related to the environment. And a few years ago, I did an album of music by Alan Hovhaannis, and the sort of centerpiece track on that album is a piece he wrote called "The Spirit of Trees," and that just seemed like a natural to hook up and try and have the album be in addition to being music that I love, but have it be an opportunity to discuss and perhaps increase a little awareness for some of the problems that we face. So that was my first foray into environmental causes, and this album just seemed to be made for the idea of funneling royalty proceeds and talking about it and really becoming more involved in these causes and issues. And for this album, I hooked up with the Environmental Defense Fund, and I have learned so much in the last year or so since becoming involved in this stuff.
Are people aware of that particular organization?
Well, you know, I'm not sure if, everyone is aware of this organization, but it's a wonderful group that kind of focuses on, the nuts and bolts of trying to, change or improve legislation. And that's not one of the most visible, pretty, parts of the equation, right now. It's not one of the things that, sends us all on a rapturous, journey of inspiration about the earth, but it has to be done. I've always said, 50% of something is a lot better than 100% of nothing.
Right.
And we have to go for what we can get, bit by bit, step by step. And that's kind of what that organization is about.
Well, and the harp, of course, is the kind of an instrument, and I say this not as a listener, but as a harpist, that is very, very environmental, I think. There's something about it, first of all, the quality of it, and the one that you play, the real harp. There's nothing electronic about it.
Right.
And it is, I think, as you feel as a harpist when you're playing it, there is a kind of a connection, isn't there, to something ethereal and kind of, I guess, aesthetic.
Well, sure. I think there's something very organic, mm-hmm, about the instrument. It's wood, and it's natural
and gut
materials.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And gut.
Right.
And you're very close to the production of your sound on, mm-hmm, the harp. There's very little, there's no middleman in the production of your sound. There's nothing in between you and actually creating the sound. There's no hammers. There's no valves. Mm-hmm. There is nothing. And so I think in that respect, it is an instrument that's, very, very close to us. And not only that, it's one of our oldest instruments. Before we had any kind of technology of any sort, the harp was somehow incorporated into the cultures of most,
early
civilizations.
Yes, sure.
You know, I think the harp is a very appropriate sort of protagonist when you're speaking about the earth, because it is both durable and fragile at the same time, and it can be both powerful mm-hmm. and delicate. And you know, the music on this album, Air, is both of those things. It's the parallel works of Toru Takemitsu and Claude Debussy.
His inspiration, I believe, Takemitsu said that he really learned his music from Debussy. It was kind of a self-taught thing.
Right. Acknowledges that, I'm talking about Toru Takemitsu. Takemitsu acknowledges that he was basically self-taught, but that he considers his greatest teacher to be the music of Claude Debussy. And
Yes. So
you hear a lot of impressionism and a lot mm-hmm. Of threads of the inspiration that Claude Debussy took in the use of color and texture and, you know, all those things that created the impressionistic sound. Toru Takemitsu has sort of woven those into a bit of a different language. And I think it's also interesting, and the reason that these two composers made so much sense for that album is because not only was Toru Takemitsu influenced by the great impressionists and Claude Debussy in particular, but the great impressionists were very inspired and took much influence from the Asian sonorities.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so I think even though they were separated by certainly geography and time, there was a cross inspiration that I think makes all the sense in the world to put these pieces together. And, you know, as it happens, both composers wrote works that are very parallel to each other. And so basically we just paired the parallel works of each composer. And I think there's great symmetry and great rightness.
Yes, it's very, very compatible.
Yeah.
And very different from the other album that you have just released, Never Far Away, with music of Bright Cheng. Now, this is also Asian and very,
right.
very different. And to me, it's Bartok or Stravinsky or something like that. And also saying that the harp is very natural. People who don't understand the modern harp, which was developed later on, I guess it's the end of the 19th century, there are seven pedals on the harp, and Yolanda does a dance, very, very wonderful, a sacred and profane dance with her feet while she's playing this rather challenging music of Bright Cheng. Tell us a little bit about this album now, Yolanda. This one is recorded with San Diego Symphony, is that right?
Right, right. This was a fairly large-scale commissioning project. It's a consortium, and the sponsors of the harp concerto, which is called Never Far Away and is also the title of the album, the commission was sponsored by the San Diego Symphony, the lead sponsor, and the Dallas Symphony and the Grand Rapids Symphony and Oberlin Conservatory. It was a real collaboration.
That's an unusual thing, isn't it, to have so many organizations involved?
Well, I think not as unusual today, really, because I think, you know, in this economic climate in the arts industry right now, I think a lot of creativity is required to fund projects. And I think that, you know, when there are more hands on deck, it makes something interesting and creative a lot more possible for everyone. And so I think while it's not, this is by no means an original concept, it was certainly a wonderful thing to have these orchestras and these different venues, you know, working together to bring this piece to life. And Telarc also was wonderful in supporting this project and bringing this record to fruition, because, you know,
yeah.
I think as we all know, the last 2 years mm-hmm. or so, we have seen a lot of changing economic times. And, you know, any project that had its genesis, you know, 3 or 4 years ago could have very easily met its demise.
Well, especially with the recording industry
yep.
going the way it is.
Right.
Now, you're doing a lot of fancy stuff on this. You have interesting, I guess, effects that Bright Cheng uses with, I guess you're moving the pedals while the strings are resounding.
Right.
are you preparing the harp in any way, in like a prepared piano?
Yes, Bride and I work together pretty closely in the composing stages, just because I wanted him to know everything that was possible on the harp, so that he, you know, could really use the full canvas, that he knew what could be done. And and so, you know, there, our very first session, I just went and played for him for about a couple hours. I just sat there and played everything I knew, showed him a lot of the different sounds and sonorities and colors and effects that are possible in the instrument. And in fact, most of the last movement of the piece is played with sort of heavy craft paper woven through mm-hmm. the strings to create like a prepared piano effect.
Yes.
And what it does is the string, you know, when you pull the string, it snaps back against the paper
and
you do hear the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a rattle and a buzz, but you know, really what it accomplishes in that last movement is almost like it certainly changes the sound of the string, but it also amplifies it in a way. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, the upside is that, you know, you get a really cool, neat color. It amplifies the sound of the harp and really gives a very unique kind of rhythmic articulation to everything that's done. But it also increases the tension on the strings, I would estimate, by at least threefold.
I think that the harp tension is, 2,000 pounds when it's fully tuned, I was told?
I think
something
someone
like
measured
that.
The resistance or the pressure mm-hmm. on the strings. And, you know, so you really, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, the muscle tone in your fingers when you play the harp, you know this, has to be, you know, you have to have some strong hands on you to play the harp. But then, you know, when you weave the paper through the strings, you know, it's like, you know, driving in third gear.
Does it slows down the vibration of the string, perhaps, maybe, and you have to pull harder or something like that?
Yeah, you have to pull harder just from a purely feel standpoint, all the strings just feel three times as tight. Mm. So to get a sound, you just have to pull harder. And so, you know, I joke with Bright because, you know, playing the last movement of his concerto, for me, was the equivalent of brass players going to high altitudes to practice.
Right.
Because it's much harder to breathe and, you know, sustain a sound at high altitudes on trumpet player.
Yeah.
Yeah. My husband, in fact, is a trumpet player.
And, uh-huh.
You know, he likes to give a recital somewhere, you know, in
sea level.
Colorado in prep for a very important performance, because then he comes down to, you know, closer to sea level and, you know, he feels like he's driving a Ferrari. And that is exactly what it was like, working and preparing and learning to play with that paper in the strings, because when the paper's not there now, it truly feels like I am flying.
Yes, you must have a marvelous sound, really fantastic. Now, again, you have to doctor this up. When do you do that? In between the movements?
Yes, you know, and that's not by any means the only effect going on. I have a whole little tool stand next to me when I play this piece, but in between the second and the third movement, actually in Dallas, Bright decided to add a little percussion interlude while I wind mm-hmm. the paper through the string, and that was after the premiere. And after the recording too, but you know, it's just a way to let me, you know, the audience is usually quite fascinated by what I'm doing, because basically I'm weaving.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a loom, mm-hmm. and you know, I have these long strips of paper, and you know, there's kind of a technique to it, and you have to learn to do it pretty quickly. And that I do between the second and the third movement. And the way Bright has it configured now is that the percussion, it's like a bongo rhythm. And it's actually pretty cool and very haunting to do that. But the only scary thing is, you know, at times it can be a little bit awkward to get that paper in.
And oh, I once, would think so.
And
how many
once
octaves
that,
do you thread it through? I mean,
pretty much the whole harp.
Oh, my goodness.
Harp, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And, you know, I remember in, where was it? In Grand Rapids. For some reason, my fingers were a little bit dry. And, you know, playing this piece really tears up your fingertips,
yeah,
too. And I was trying to get that last little piece threaded in and secure and folded over the top. And, you know, my cue was coming up very, very soon. And it was sort of like jumping out of an airplane. You know, you're over the target. And you got to get that strip in and jump in. So it's exciting, the whole process.
Well, I'm glad you used the word exciting. Is it gimmicky?
Gimmicky? Mm-hmm. You know, there's a fine line, I think. I would not characterize this as gimmicky simply because I really do think the techniques that he chose do work. I think if I couldn't think of a reason for doing them, and you know, there was some collaboration, there was some negotiation, there was a lot of discussion along the way, but I do think that there was always a good reason for what he included. So I was willing to go the extra mile to make it work, but I really can't think of anything in the piece really that is there just, it strikes me as being there just to be different or eccentric. It really does seem to serve his vision. And so for that reason, I would not categorize it as gimmicky.
So how now, for instance, you are a teacher as well, and you've written books on harp technique. For your new harpist, the harpist of this age, the 21st century, do you feel this is terribly important to include the whole business of preparing an instrument, of using sophisticated techniques of playing the harp far and away beyond what we have learned over the past years? I mean, isn't that part of teaching for orchestral harpists, certainly?
Oh, absolutely. I think that when it comes to the harp, you know, certainly we have lots of lovely traditional repertoire, and that should be part of one's repertoire, part of one's education and training, you know, certainly a cornerstone of what one does as a harpist. But I also think that the future of our instrument certainly is in new works, in compositions that have been made available to us since the harp has really reached its technological potential, which has really only been, the 20th century was really our first heyday. And so we have a lot of catch-up time to make up. And so if we are not, as harpists, if we are not willing to embrace new techniques and new colors and special effects on our instrument, I think we will miss the boat, because that is where music in general is going.
Yes,
and not every experiment is a good one. I think we know this from history, that with composition, you know, 20 pieces, you know, might have been composed in the 1890s, and of those, one has endured, but it's a humdinger, and we're glad to have it. And that's really what progress hinges on.
Yolanda, a pleasure to speak with you. You are a wonderful representative for the harp world, and you're bringing us new worlds. And we look forward to whatever you have to do. Maybe you'll have a 16th album that will be born.
Well, thank you so much for the interest and the support.
Okay, and a pleasure to speak with you.
Likewise. Thanks so much.
The very best. Thanks, Yolanda. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.